Institute of Organic Matters. Well, I'm going to call it my weird week, because I'm supposed to be talking gardening, and I usually do. There'll be some involved here. But since Organic Matters has to do with organic gardening, organic living, something that's come to mind that I've kept up with to the point that it's now it's in everybody, at least are aware of it, is microplastics. Nowadays, microplastics appear to be everywhere. From the Arctic to the deep into the people's lungs, which is very concerning. Plastic gradually degrades into what they call microplastics, that humans consume, drink, and breathe in. Inevitably, microplastics find their way into natural food systems and rivers, where they eventually end up where? On your plate. As a matter of point, it's very interesting. Virtually every blood sample they took from penguins in the Antarctic, now where nobody is except a few people living at one station, they have microplastics in their bodies. At this point, it's virtually impossible to totally avoid microplastics. But we can make intentional efforts to reduce our exposure to these microplastics to a significant extent. I'm going to give you a few ways that hopefully it can help you avoid microplastics if you just make yourself aware of it. Let's start with this, which is kind of fascinating. I saw it when I was in Australia and other places, not so much here in the United States. Avoid single-use packaging. Now think about that. Over in Australia when I was there, a lot of the people, almost all of them, either carry their own bags, more importantly, cloth bags. They carry their containers to the takeaway places where you're going to go get a hamburger or whatever, and they bring use their own silverware. More toxins seep into your meal when it's heated and the food comes in touch with this plastic to-go containers. The same holds true for your morning coffee poured into a styrofoam cup. The throwaway plastic lined cup itself and the lid. Pack your own utensils. Over there, I don't know if it's as common here because I haven't really looked. They have bamboo utensils. Doesn't look like bamboo, folks, but it's made from bamboo. Okay, or they use their own stainless ware. And I personally have really gotten into this for people that know me. I put all my food, even the ones I store, I usually make more food than I can eat at a single time, put it in glass. I no longer use any other container. I would use stainless steel if I had it. I don't use any of the microplastic containers anymore. I have a friend that gives me food, and I'm not going to tell him don't put it in the container. Other than that, I basically have tried to eliminate all those plastic containers from my daily life. But like when I get my food from them, okay, if they do use plastic containers, the one thing you don't want to do is heat them in a microwave or any kind of a heating system with your food in it. You're really, really asking to get plastic in your food. My personal preference is always glass, or I do have a couple of bottles that I use that are stainless steel. The reason is, I'll be very frank since others don't know me, I have one eye, folks, and I drop the containers a lot. So I love my glass at home. I live on a stone floor, one drop and it's gone. So I do use a stainless steel bottle to take water when I travel or whatever I'm going to drink instead of glass, just because I don't want to break it. And as silly as it sounds, I never fill the container to the top where it can touch a plastic top if I happen to have one, which I don't use myself. Food is way more prone to absorb chemicals from plastic when it's in touch with it over an extended length of time, for instance, in storage. Try using glass, or again, metal if you don't want to use glass. And they even have wraps that I reuse now. Sounds strange. And they're coated with beeswax. They don't have any BPA or anything in them. And for the most part, they're actually reusable. Next on my list is interesting because there's two reasons not to use it, and those are plastic cutting boards. First of all, you don't believe what microplastics are left when you cut anything on a cutting board that's made out of plastic. So better options, and one surprises me, of course, wood. All my cutting boards are wood. But silicone. You think plastic and silicone. Silicone does not have the problems with microplastics that regular plastic does. You realize wood does have fibers in it, and you need to keep it kind of clean. I happen to use hydrogen peroxide on mine. Vinegar works pretty good. So occasionally, you know, do kind of clean up your cutting board. But cutting boards left out in the open, especially in open weather, things pretty much are pretty safe. But I would recommend a regular cleaning, of course. And I probably, with the way everybody lives now, I probably should have put this on the top of my list. One of the simplest ways you can lower your intake of plastic on a regular basis is to quit using single-use plastic bottles. Reaching for a plastic bottle, you know, it's the kind you see in the vending machines. All your water comes in it, your soda comes in it, your sport drinks comes in it, is unquestionably handy. Unfortunately, drinking from plastic bottles is not near as safe as you would believe. As far as reusable bottle materials go, if you're trying to avoid plastics, interesting, I always say BPA-free, that sounds good, but you need to stay away also from BPA-free plastics, okay? Because they don't have BPA in them, they now use a thing called Triton copolyester, and the other one is aluminum bottles. Aluminum sheds on a regular basis. I've not done a show on aluminum, but I'm going to, because they also contain an unknown, unseen materials, epoxies, resins, polymers, even enamels. In those bottles, well, BPA-free sounds good, but now you're adding one insult on top of the other. Your best hope for plastic-free solutions are glass containers again, or for those of you that like me, clumsy, stainless steel containers. And this one I hate to even bring up, but I got to, because I saw a whole study on it. It's probably not surprising that seafood has the highest content of microplastics per volume that you can imagine, given that the majority of plastic trash ends up where? In our waterways and in our oceans, where it degrades into particles super tiny, small enough that they're totally ingested even by plankton species. That plastic then travels up the food chain, contaminates the majority of the seafood we consume these days. It's very, very difficult to believe, but it's true. The study that I saw discovered indications of plastic fibers in fillets and livers of almost every species of fish tested, indicating that these plastics are not just ingested and eliminated by fish, but smaller fish contain more plastics per gram of tissue than larger fish do overall, which surprised me. I'd always stuck to getting smaller fish thinking they didn't live as long, so they had less chance to be exposed to plastics. But no, for their volume, they actually contain as much or more than the bigger fish. A biggie for me, which I used to love to eat, is shellfish. Shellfish feed how? By filtering water. That makes you think that as they feed themselves, they also clean the water by pumping in fresh water and filtering it via, you know, their internal filter systems, however you want to think how it works. Unfortunately, the plastics, the microplastics, because they are tiny enough to get through even those filters, the shellfish that eat them are exposed to alarmingly high levels of microplastic, which you end up eating when you eat that particular shellfish. And I'm off, folks. I might have 3 cans of canned food right now in my house. And they do say they're BPA-free. But what they don't tell you is in order to be BPA-free, they've used another alternate chemical, which we don't even know what it is at this point. But it's really particularly harmful in things like acidic foods, oily seafood, like sardines, canned tomatoes. Tomato acidity especially accelerates the pace to which these chemicals leach out for you to get to eat. This also applies to carbonated drinks, sparkling water, and even beer. I buy beer in glass bottles, folks. Looking for glass containers rather than metal or especially aluminum when purchasing fish and fizzy drinks and anything acidic like tomatoes. I should have mentioned when I mentioned water, bottled water, for instance, although there's a lot of sources of plastics that we haven't even talked of, from littering to storm runoff to whatever, I recommend, and they're not that expensive, getting a filter for your drinking water. It's way cheaper than buying bottled water. Get yourself glass bottles or aluminum. I mean, I'm sorry, not aluminum by any means. Stainless. And do your own filtering. There's a number of carbon and or block filters that are relatively inexpensive that have been shown to remove 100% of all known microplastics. One that I recommend, and I do not do advertising on this show, Zero, Z-E-R-O, water filters for the money. They're a little bit more money than a Brita, although Britas are not too bad, but they are shown to remove 100% of known microplastics if you use them on a regular basis. And finally, another surprise to me, I'll tell you, I don't ever buy white table salt. I just don't use it. Well, I do. I use it to scrub skillets and things because it's a great abrasive. I don't need it. But I've gone to sea salt. But sea salt has a lot of wonderful advantages, including, balanced electrolytes. It helps with blood pressure regulation. However, this common element, common all over the world, contains traces of marine plastic over centuries now, ever since we started using, over decades. Studies have shown that sea salt has extremely high concentrations of microplastics. If you're seasoning your supper, switching to something like, and this is easy to get, Redmond, R-A-D-M-O-N salts, or I use Himalayan sea salt. It's a different reason, because it was produced way before we had plastics, can be the answer to avoiding all your microplastic exposure with salts. These salts obtained from clean sources that have been in the ocean, some of them in thousands of years. Redmond, one source I know from, incidentally, is right in the central part of the United States. And Himalayan salts have been literally in the mountains for tens of thousands of years. They've never been exposed to the plastics. They cost a little bit more, but they're a lot safer. And again, it's not just so much you and I'll end with this. Your kids are born and now have been in an era once all these plastics have been available since their birth, even if they're 20 years old or 30. And certainly every kid born nowadays is exposed to, every time they go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal, they get plastic in their body. What's it going to do in 50 years? You know what? The truth is, we really don't know. So anyway, another off the rails subject, that if you think about your health, it's easy to avoid all this. Does it cost a little bit more money? Yes. Is it take an extra effort to say, oh my goodness, I don't get this because it's in plastic? Yes. Even when I buy things like sardines, believe it or not, if you go to a good market, you can get small fish fillets and things in glass containers. They don't have to be in metal anymore. So it's a win-win for both you and your children and for the environment. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Life.